Something that people search their whole life for is their purpose. And too often we find our purpose in all the wrong places. And sometimes even when it seems like it's a good thing, that sometimes we might miss the point of what our true purpose is. Before I get into sort of the impetus for this lesson, because it ties in with the first point of our first slide here, it's always important to talk about what it isn't. And there's two things that I want to sort of get into first, is that our true purpose is not about politics. I think too often we tie our identity in so closely with our politics. But this is actually the impetus this morning. Is it also isn't about our gender. And you might think you know where I'm going with this, but I'm actually going to swing the opposite direction. I was reading an article by somebody who I think is a strong Christian, is a very sound Christian. I was reading an article that he wrote, and the whole point of the article was what we ought to be teaching our daughters. And there was a lot of talk about what is going on in today's society in the article. But there was something that sort of struck me, and I actually, again, I understood where the comment was coming from, but I realized I didn't appreciate it. And it said, we need to teach our daughters that their true purpose in life is to be a wife and a mother. And that bothered me. Because that's not our true purpose. That's no one's true purpose. My true purpose is not to be a husband and a father. A woman's true purpose is not to be a wife and a mother. We'll talk about what our true purpose is later in our lesson. But I want us to keep that in mind. That's not what our true purpose is actually about. Our purpose also isn't about our constitutionally given rights. The Constitution gave us those rights, not the Bible. And as much as we might say it in the Declaration or in the Constitution, God didn't even give us these either. So sometimes we get so caught up in what are my rights given to me by this government? And we fight so hard for those rights instead of fighting for what our true purpose is. Most recently, keeping everyone safe, happy, or healthy, it's not our purpose. That's not our purpose in life. And then this last one might be kind of odd to see, but I'll explain. Our purpose in life is also not to be goal-oriented. I don't live according to my purpose for what I'm going to get later. That's not why I live. That's not what my true purpose is. I don't do what is right because heaven has been promised to me. I do what is right because it is right. I do what is right because God told me to do that. And I live according to my true purpose because that's what God told me to do. It's icing on the cake that I get him for the rest of eternity. It's an extra blessing on top of all the other blessings. But it's not why I live according to my purpose. I do it because God has asked me to do it. And because I love him. And because I know that it is right. Now, what I do want to talk about is when we get to talking about our true purpose, surely we know where this lesson is going already. But when we talk about what our true purpose is, it influences these things. It does. And so again, when we talk here, and we're actually going to talk about tonight, it's part of why we're talking about this, because we're going to talk about men and women in Christ later on tonight as well. So I don't want to step too much on what we're talking about tonight. But being a good husband and a wife, or a good mother or father, is about living to your true purpose. It is influenced by what your true purpose is. All of these things are influenced by our true purpose. Now, our true purpose pertains to a few different things. Again, these are not in and of themselves our true purpose, but they speak to our true purpose. If you'll first turn with me to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. I would say these things are part and parcel to our true purpose. Starting in verse 8. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. What about verse 10? Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Verse 13, let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. So first off, it pertains to how we live. It pertains to the fact that we must love each other, and not just each other, but our neighbors as well, even those who may not want to love us. Sometimes our living to our true purpose is to deny our wants and desires, like in verse 14, make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. Your flesh wants something, and so often, as Paul tells us, it's the opposite of what God wants. And then if you turn over to chapter 14, accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. One person has faith that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats vegetables only. The one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat, and the one who does not eat is not to judge the one who eats, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls. And he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person regards one day above another. Another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. It's not about, our true purpose is not about passing judgment upon each other. We should judge each other the way our true purpose tells us, which comes from judging people the way that God would judge them. What about verse 10? Why do you judge your brother? Why do you regard your brother with contempt? We all stand before the judgment seat of God. Remember, for everything you want to judge your fellow Christian, there's multiple things that God's going to be judging you about. What about starting in verse 15? For if because of food your brother is hurt, you are no longer walking according to love. There's that love again, the fulfillment of the law. Do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are clean, but they are evil for the man who eats and gives offense. It is good not to eat meat or to drink. It is good not to eat meat or to drink wine or to do anything by which your brother stumbles. The faith which you have as your own conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and whatever is not from faith is sin. Now we who are strong ought to bear the weakness of those without strength, and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good and to his edification. So I want you to notice once again, it pertains to how we live and not letting petty things get in the way of each other. But again, this isn't our true purpose, but it pertains to it. This is how we ought to live. is to not let things get in the way, but to live in righteousness, peace, and joy, verse 17. Or what about Galatians chapter 5? I like that last verse, verse 15, because I always think about it from the standpoint of people saying that they're going to do or not do something because they have the right to. Sometimes we forget that just because I have a right doesn't mean I ought to. Galatians 5, verse 13. You are called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, there it is again, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Again, that's not the true purpose, but it pertains to it. What about 1 Corinthians chapter 8? 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Food will not commend us to God. We are neither the worse if we do not eat, nor the better if we do eat. But take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. Chapter 10, verse 23. All things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own good, but that of his neighbor. Eat anything that is sold in the meat market without asking questions for conscience' sake. Verse 31, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, so that they may be saved. When we live according to our true purpose, this is how our life begins to play out. At least it should. We should be putting other people first. We should be showing love. We should perhaps put our liberties aside for the sake of others. But doing that is not our true purpose. It just pertains to our true purpose. So what is our true purpose? The first verse I always like to go to is what we already read this morning, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Here, the preacher, who by all appearances is Solomon, he says that he's looked over his whole life, all the wisdom that he has gained. He's tried to live his life by various other circumstances and values. And everything at the end of the day is vanity. That's what he says in verse 8. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. And when you read through Ecclesiastes, it's just kind of a downer book. Nothing ever matters. It's basically nihilism, almost. If you don't know what nihilism is, go research that on your own time. It's almost nihilistic in appearance. Until he gets right here at the end. And he's hinted at this throughout the book. But here we get to the end. And the focus is 13 and 14, but we'll start in verse 9. In addition to being a wise man, the preacher also taught the people knowledge. And he pondered, searched out, and arranged many proverbs. The preacher sought to find delightful words and to write words of truth correctly. The words of wise men are like goads, and the masters of these collections are like well-driven nails. They are given by one shepherd. There's the Holy Spirit, by the way. But beyond this, my son, be warned. The writing of many books is endless. An excessive devotion to books is wearying to the body. The conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. God will bring every act into judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. That is our purpose. Our true purpose is to fear God and keep His commandments. So going back, when we think about being a good wife and mother, or being a good husband and father, if you're living to your true purpose, then those things will play out the way God wants them to. Jill and I have talked about this a lot, is when two people have God at the center, that they could enjoy a very happy life together. It doesn't matter. Any two people that have God at the center. Because that's what it takes to be a good spouse. That's what it takes to be a good parent. It's what it takes to be a good child. Is to have God at the center of who you are. Galatians chapter 5. We were just here a moment ago, but let's look at what we could have continued reading. We're going to start in verse 5. We, through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. Faith working through love is our purpose. Because that's what God has called of us to be. Acts chapter 17. Paul is speaking in the Areopagus. Remember, he's speaking to Gentiles. He's not speaking to people who really know the Mosaic law or anything like that. Look at verse 24. The God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life, breath, and all things. By the way, that's our purpose. He gives us our purpose as part of that all things. But that's not where Paul stops. He made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. Why? Right? This is our purpose. Why has he done this? That we should seek him. That they would seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and exist. As even some of your own poets have said, we also are his children. God is everything to us. Not just because I should believe that, but he literally is everything to us. Without him, we wouldn't have this existence. And all God says is, I want you to exist with me. That's all God has ever wanted. And for some reason, it's the thing we fight the hardest against. And it's no wonder that people can never seem to find their purpose. As long as God is not a part of that equation, they always feel empty. A few weeks ago, I had in the article there a discussion about George Michael. And learning about his life and the person that he had become, he always felt discontent. And that even though he had achieved some of the best accolades he could ever achieve in his career and in his life, it was never enough. And he was willing to admit that. It never felt like enough. And if you recall, he was a member of the duo Wham before he was George Michael. And he always said that his partner, whose name is now escaping me, he always envied the life that he had after he left Wham. that he said the life that his partner went on to lead in relative obscurity, did he wish he had that instead? It's no surprise to me. It's not a shock, because he never had God at the center of his life. So of course he felt empty. God is an infinite being. And when he's not there, he leaves an infinite hole. Can you fill an infinite hole? Never. Not unless you fill it with something equally as infinite. And so it's no wonder that what we end up having inside of us is a black hole. And what do black holes do? They destroy everything around them. They suck everything in, never to see the light of this universe again. And that's what we become when we don't have God at the center of who we are. We just eat and eat and our destruction. But here, he determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation that they would seek God. That is our whole purpose here. And for some people, that's depressing. I'm not sure why. But that seems depressing to some people. But the thing is, when I live according to my true purpose, then the rest of my life is as enjoyable and happy as an experience as I could ever hope for it to be. And no matter what I'm doing, I always find fulfillment in what I'm doing. That's no surprise. It's not a coincidence. You'll turn back with me to Romans chapter 14. This is our last scripture this morning. Romans chapter 14. Verse 7. For not one of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord. Or if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be both Lord of the dead and the living. I want you to notice that it's not just our true purpose that we follow God, that we sacrifice our life for him, that we live for him. It's not just that. It was the entire purpose of Christ's life as well, that we live according to our purpose. You ever thought about that? Christ lived according to his purpose so that you would live according to yours. And you can always live according to your purpose, no matter what situation you are in life. That's why I said what I said at the beginning. And again, we're going to talk about this a little bit deeper tonight as we talk about being men and women in Christ and the various roles that we might find ourselves in, the various situations that we might find ourselves in. How are we going to live according to Christ? But that's why that bothered me so much. A woman's true purpose is to be a wife and a mother. No, a woman's true purpose is to live for God. That's what her true purpose is. And everything else falls into place. Just like it's the same for men. Our purpose, men, is not to be a husband and a father. No, our purpose is to be one with Christ. That's our purpose. And if I find myself a husband and a father, then I will do the Christ-like best that I can. And for any of the women out there, I'm sure that's the case for you as well. You being a wife and a mother, you're going to do everything according to Christ that you can. Because that is our true purpose. I want to go back. It's not about politics. It's not about gender. It's not about the Constitution. It's not about keeping everybody happy and safe. Our purpose is to live for God. And as I live for God, those other things will begin to fall into place. I will know how best to keep people happy, healthy, and safe. how I ought to view myself in my gender or in my politics, or how I ought to look at the Constitution. It's a man-made document, and it takes second fiddle to the Bible and what it has to say. Once I live according to my true purpose, the rest of my life begins to fall into place. And that's not a coincidence. I want to reiterate that. That is not a coincidence. God knew that about us. He has always known that about us. And that's why he's asked us to live that way. Look at history, whether it be history from the Bible or whether it be history from whatever else we might read in history books. Those who have not lived according to God have destroyed this world. And it got so bad, God decided to wipe everybody except 8 people off it at once. That's how destructive we became. Now, that's how much of a black hole we became as a species. And God says, I just want you to realize all the way back what I tried to teach you in the garden. At the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve had 2 choices. Either trust yourself or trust God. That was it. And we messed it up. We always think maybe less rules and regulations are the way I need to live my life. It didn't work for Adam and Eve. They had one rule. Because that's not who we are. But we can change that. We can change that. We can be better. And we're better when we live according to our true purpose, which is to be a child of God. This morning, you have an opportunity. If you have not become a child of God yet, you have an opportunity this morning. You've heard the call of God reaching out to you. Not saying that I'm necessarily speaking for God. But God is reaching out to you and saying you need to be his child. So you heard it now, and you have a choice. Are you going to believe what you hear or not? I hope that you say yes. Once you've believed, then you need to realize something. With that belief comes an understanding of who you are. And that without God, there's nothing to you. You're just a black hole eating everything up in your life. But you can turn away from that. That's what that word repent means, is to turn around. You can turn away from that behavior, that life that you've decided to live, and you can be one with Christ. Once you've repented, you've turned away from living that life, then you should confess that to whoever you can. You can confess that to us here this morning and say that this is who you've decided to be. And this is who God means to you. That he's the one who saved you from plunging into the abyss. And then once you have confessed that, God says, I just want you to be buried. I want you to die and be buried and be resurrected. And thankfully, we don't have to actually do that, not physically. But we just do it by, there's water in there. We go all the way under. And we come back. It's really that easy. And then you live the rest of your life living your true purpose. If that applies to you this morning, hear the call and respond. If at any point you have already responded to this call, but perhaps you have not been living according to your purpose, you have an opportunity now as well that you can come up here and you can get back on the right path. Sometimes things on the off the path look really nice. They look really good and clean and healthy when all they do is lead to our eventual demise. Perhaps you've started going off the path and realize you need to get back on. We can help you with that too. Whatever help you need, respond to the call of God this morning as we stand and as we sing.